Thank you, Jim. I want to read to you just the parallel passage which comes in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7, which is still talking about Jesus being the gate, the door. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." How sad. Only a few find it. I was asked this morning to speak on Jesus as the door or the gate. I notice as I look at the words, "I am the door," that there is only one. Not, "I am a door," I am the door. Definite article for those who are interested in grammar. The door, there is no other. And as I reflect on that, I in my mind anyway, went back to days when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and my dear mother read to me the story that Bunyan penned called The Pilgrim's Progress. I wonder how many people know about it nowadays. It's no longer spoken of very often, but The Pilgrim's Progress is a wonderful picture story of a man's conversion and his working towards the celestial city, leaving the city of destruction behind, fearing all that meant, and ending up in the celestial city. And it's a great series of adventures that he has. Well, my mother read that to me. In those days, it was only available in authorized English with all the these and thous and ests and things in it that would make it rather hard for the modern reader. But I have to tell you that J. John, Canon J. John, and many of you will know him, has rewritten the story under the heading of Pilgrim. And it says, "A contemporary retelling of the story of the Pilgrim's Progress." It's not expensive, available online, and I recommend it to anyone who doesn't know the book. But anyway, my dear mother read this to me, as I remember it. It's just a sweet memory to me, as a bedtime story. I absolutely attracted this ancient volume, which, I, as you see, I've rebound after a style, because of the pictures in it. And it is an enthralling read, and picks up so many of the snags that Christians encounter in their walk with God as they attempt to be real disciples. Well, it's a precious memory. The door, the gate, there is only one. I ask you a question. What is a door? You think about it. The door is part of the wall, isn't it? And if it's shut, it is just as much part of the wall as any other part of it. It has this one other feature, is it is possible for that door to open. But otherwise, it's something that divides and separates us from what's on the other side. And Matthew says things like, "Ask, seek, knock, only a few find it." There is only one door to the kingdom of God. Some of you remember Brother Cyril Williams. He's departed this life some time ago now. But he was a dear and earnest worker and deacon of this church for very, very many years. And dear Cyril once was a postman before he became a counter-staff person at the post office. And he sometimes reflected on his experiences in those days. I remember a meeting we held, and we were doing a meditation. That is to say, we read some scripture, and we all shut our eyes and said, "Lord, show me more from this passage." And then we would share whatever we thought the Lord had given to us. And dear Brother Cyril here we were reflecting on the passage, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That was in Revelation. This is not quite the same application of the door as what we've just been talking about, but anyway, that's what we were considering at that time. And after we had a time of silence and we began to share, Cyril said, "Oh," he said, "when I was a postman, I used to look at people's doors and I used to reflect on what was on the other side." And he said, "I came to the conclusion that the state of a person's door often indicated what might be on the other side." He talked of all sorts of things like dogs that bite and unruly people who sometimes were abrupt and rude at the door, and just all sorts of experiences he'd had. But he thought the door was very significant. It had a sort of reflecting capacity to say what was on the other side of it. To be honest, I wonder what people will think if they looked at my front door. Letterboxes in a terrible state. Anyway, the door of the house. And then I thought to myself, yes, who is the door to the kingdom? It's Jesus. So he is a reflection of what's on the other side. Maybe that's true. I think it must be. Occasionally, you know, when you're at a door, you get sort of glimpses beyond, don't you? Maybe the door opens ajar a little bit, or a flash of light comes out, or you get just a picture of something on the other side. And it strikes me that the sayings of Jesus are just like that. The parables he's told us, the things he said about the kingdom of God, are like glimpses beyond the door. I wonder how much we appreciate of Jesus as the reflection of what is on the other side. Well, we get things like a worshiping community, great multitudes, and the one who alone is worthy to open the books. All there. A lot of it in the book of Revelation, but in many other places in Scripture too. You get an inkling of what's on the other side when we go through the door. There's another aspect of this. So here was a Jewish sheepfold, and the sheep would go inside at night, and they had to be protected. The Jewish shepherd would very often become the door by lying across the entrance. And anyone who wanted to get into the sheepfold, be a robber or a wolf or whatever else, had first of all to deal with the shepherd. Wow. What a shepherd. It cost him an awful lot to be an effective shepherd for his sheep. We consider his teachings, his personality, the things he did, that he is the only author of salvation, and he is the first and the last, as the Father looks at the situation. He, in fact, is the door on which is hinged on the on God's love. It's like God's love is the hinges on which the door swings. So Jesus is the door, and being a door was costly. We see it in his hands and his feet, in his wounded brow and side, from the beatings he received, and the horror of probably the most horrible methods of execution that could be devised. Jesus Saviour, Lord, the door to the kingdom. Here's a story from the past that may help us a little. There was a house fire in the village, and all bar one of those inside perished in the fire. The flames prevented anyone getting inside to bring relief and to save lives. Every rescuer was driven back. The crowd, such as they were, the local people, looking up at the window, suddenly became of the frightened face of a little boy up the top. And they couldn't get in. They felt helpless and hopeless. Suddenly a man broke from the crowd and came to a drain pipe and started to clamber up. That drain pipe had become very, very hot in the fire, but he persevered and, yes, managed to reach the child and bring him safely down. Amazing. So one life was saved indeed. The village parish council people got together because they said this child hasn't got any relatives in the area now. No one to care for him. What are we going to do with this child? Well, of course, we'll put him up for adoption. And so it was made known that the child was to be adopted. And would anybody like to come forward to offer their home and care to him? There were two offers. The first was a well-to-do family that already had children, a comfortable home, and so much to commend them. So they were interviewed and it was thought, oh, yes, this is a good place to put the child. And they interviewed the second offer, and this person turned about to be a man who had no wife. A poor house, really, in comparison with the former. And they said to him, well, what could you possibly offer the boy? What right have you got to apply to adopt him? The man said nothing, but he held out his hands, scarred as they were forever from the heat of that drainpipe up which he had climbed to save the child's life. He was the one approved to do the adoption. There's so much in that story, isn't there, that reminds us of what Jesus did for us. He alone was good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Jesus is the door. There is no other. He's utterly worthy. Let's lean on that love. Let's take the invitation and go through the door and remain there. Remember the Pilgrim's Progress. Do read it for yourselves. And do remember the door above all. Jesus, who himself made a way into the presence of God for us.